go and finish part of what we started yesterday, and then before we go to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you see the role of baptism of the Holy Spirit in your spiritual growth. Some people think that baptism of the Holy Spirit is just I'm baptized and speaking in tongues. That's the beginning. It's just the beginning of it. You should understand that there's much more to that than just the fact that you speak in tongues. We find out all of that from the scripture. And the, our text for that baptism of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:17, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with what? The Holy Spirit. Okay, you got it here. 19, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, you know, we started to say that Paul had this concern for spiritual growth in the body of Christ. It was a serious concern. And he should be, because Paul was a father of the faith. He was a father of the faith. So he really wanted his children to grow. Even to the Corinthians, look at what he told them. 1 Corinthians 14:20. He said, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. In understanding, be what? Men. He said, be men. Be mature. I like this one. He said, be mature in understanding matters of this kind. He wants them to grow. It was a burning issue for him that Christians must grow. And brethren, if we remain as babies, we'll be very vulnerable. Very, very vulnerable. And you won't win any battle. I don't know any baby that wins any battle. So all this dependence on people, pray for me, prophet, they're looking for prophet, and they're recommending us. It's all babyhood. It's a simple sign of immaturity. And the church cannot make impact when the church is full of babies who are drinking milk. Nobody visited me. Should have visited me. When I got saved, nobody visited me. I was out looking for people. Nobody visited me. Me and my wife went out looking for the place to go to Life Center. We were looking, asking people, where do they meet here? Where does the Deeper Life meet here? Well, nobody visited us. We didn't care about it. We found Jesus. We were too excited. So we need to understand that spiritual maturity is important. And this is not a question of I too know. If you do I too know in this matter, you remain a baby and pay the price. And life is going. We don't have too long to stay here. If you can get it right, why not get it right? For God's sake, why not get it right? What do we gain from rigmaroling and frustrating ourselves and doing all those things? And then we think it's God, and sometimes we think it's Satan, we think it's all this. And so how do we grow into maturity? The scripture tells us exactly how to grow spiritually. Ephesians 4:11. And I'm reading Amplified Version. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, that are special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some, did you see how he described prophets? Inspired preachers and what? Expounders. You know, I taught on the ministry gifts that the simple gift of prophecy is different from being in the office of a prophet. They're not the same thing. They're not the same thing. And the primary ministry of the prophet is not even to tell you the future. It's not to tell you the future at all. And we're not supposed to be led by prophets. Because every child of God hears the voice of God. We're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. And anybody tells you, you must judge it. No prophet will say, I'm a prophet. You don't judge it. No. That's a false one. Because the Spirit says, judge all things. You have a right to judge, or including me. If I teach you anything, go to the Bible. If it's not Bible, don't take it. You have a right to do that. And I don't have a right to impose anything on you. That's witchcraft. You must think for yourself. You must what? Think for yourself. I don't care what's happening. You must be able to say, be a Berean Christian, go back, open your Bible and say, let me see if this is so. If it's not so, come back to me and say, Pastor, you say so. The Bible says the opposite. I'd be glad to learn. And I come and apologize. I say, we know that, and that brother found out is wrong. You don't swallow things, hook, line, and sinker. That's how deceit breathes in people's life. Tolu was telling me of one pastor that told his members to go and eat grass, that's bread of life. If it's even nothing compared to other things he told them to do, go to Nigeria and see what they tell them to do. One time, look, as I was growing, I went to our leaders. I said, this doctrine of sanctification you are teaching is not Bible. I told them, I said, bring your Bible, show me. I want to see. And my leader told me, say, you know what? I say, you're right, but we're following leaders. It's right. I said, no, we're following the Holy Spirit. And then I went to a pastor, senior pastor. I said, sir, I want to ask you a question. I said, when did we replace the name of Jesus with fire in casting out demons? I said, there's one name given to man by which we are saved. I said, I don't know any other name the scripture gave us, sir. I want you to prove to me that fire surpasses the name of Jesus in power. Show me Bible, sir. He said, I can't find it, but we do it. I said, I don't follow practice. I follow Bible. The word of God is lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. The power and the authority of heaven is vested in that name of Jesus. And that's the name that the devils bow to, not fire. For no other name is given to us. I went to my pastor, I said, explain it to me. Bible. Yeah, when you call fire, they fall down. I say the devil would do anything to keep you in deceit. He would do miracles to keep you, perpetuate you in deceit. And his goal is take you away from the truth. You dwell in darkness, you dwell in deceit until he destroys your faith and kills your life. I said, I'm not following miracles. I'm not following things. I don't walk by sight. And I'm not apologizing. The word is lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. If the word does not lighten it, I'm not going there. God is not there. And Jesus is not there either. So, some prophets, inspired preachers and expanders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling ministers, and some pastors, shepherds of the flock and teachers, verse 12. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of what? Ministering to us, building up. Okay, Lord, I'll say it. Yeah, I'll say it. I'll say that. That's good. The fire you call, and then they quote Elijah. Elijah didn't call fire to destroy people. He called fire to consume sacrifice. The fire of Elijah was not to fight battle. It was to consume what? Sacrifice. And the fire of God comes on you on the day of Pentecost to consume you, take over your life. We are the living sacrifice. Upon which that fire comes today. Elijah didn't call fire to kill anybody. The Lord stopped me and said, I want you to say it. Read your Bible. What Elijah used was sword. Right? I'm asking you. He fought them with what? He didn't use fire to kill them. He said, all these prophets of lies, don't let them escape. The people pounced on them. Right? How did Elijah die? He went. But he came, John the Baptist. And what happened to him? Okay. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering towards building up Christ's body, the church, that it might develop to build up the body, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of, he says, that's what he brings us to. Listen to me, brethren. How do we grow? How do we grow that it might develop until we are attained oneness in the faith? That's all of us begin to believe the same truth. The same truth. Because there's not two truths. Jesus, believe the same truth. We come to oneness. What I believe is what you believe. Because we have been taught by the same Spirit. We come to, until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of what? The Son of God, that we might now arrive at real mature manhood. That's what brings you to manhood. Accurate knowledge of who? Come on, talk. Accurate knowledge of who? Not the laws of Moses. God has shut down the ministry of Moses longest time. It's over. Bible says, God said, I found fault with it, I shut it down, and I established a new one. He said, the purpose, why God gave us pastors and all these teachers, is to bring us to the accurate knowledge of who? Son of God. So that we can now come to maturity. Was that verse 13? Okay. So, if I'm pastoring you, I'm supposed to teach you about Jesus. So that when you know him, the Spirit of God transforms your life into his image. That's what the Holy Spirit wrote here. So that's why I gave you all this. So they bring you to the accurate knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's see. Because you know, growth. Come, my brother, come. I want to make him grow. Watch me. And he must what? Huh? The only thing that makes him grow is what? Food. The only thing that makes you grow is also food. Jesus is the manna. You eat him, you grow. You don't eat him, you are nourished. That's what he told the Jews. It's, you know, after he gave them bread in the wilderness, they followed him. They all trooped out of town, followed him. They were looking for him. When they found him, they said, ah, sir, we've been looking for you. Ah, where did you go? Ah. Then he said to them, he said, the reason you are looking for me is because I gave you bread. They said, yes. They didn't deny. They said, yeah. They say, yeah, if you gave us yesterday, you can also give us today. He said, after all, you say you are a prophet. After all, Moses gave our father. So if you're a prophet, give us again today now. Exactly the conversation. They said, Moses gave our father's bread. So it's not the first time. But since you claim to be a prophet, we can also eat bread again. Give us today. Moses gave them for many days, but you have only given us one day. So give us again. That's the conversation. And Jesus said to them, the bread that my father gives is my flesh. He said, I'm now the manna that came from heaven. He said, your fathers ate that one and died. He said, when you eat this one, you will not what? All left the church, all of them. They left the church right away. They immediately left church. They said, we're not in this church anymore. How can we eat this man? But that's what happened. And Jesus said to them, stop all this, your arguments. You can't come to me except my father, because only my father can reveal me to you. Flesh and blood cannot reveal Christ to anybody. I don't care what I teach you here. Anybody teaches you. Except the Holy Spirit reveal Jesus to you, you will know him. You will be thinking that growth will come from the laws of Moses. Because those are carnal ordinances. But what God is doing today is spiritual stuff. There was a time I didn't know Jesus, and I was a pastor. And I went to God, I said, Lord, people are not changing. I said, Lord, this is frustrating. And I told God, I'm no more being pastoring. I'm resigning. This is real story. I said, Lord, I don't want to be a pastor anymore. I'm a pharmacist. You dragged me into this thing. I said, I want to go back and practice my pharmacy. I registered with the American Pharmacy Society, paid $800 to take my exam, get my license, and go to New York and start making $1,000 a day. Real story. I said, I'm a pharmacist. Can always do that. I said, I'm no more doing. I'm done. I said to God, it's hypocrisy, pretending to be a pastor and people are not changing. 40 days I sought God with sorrow. And one day he spoke to me. He said, stop telling them what to do. They can't do it. That's why I sent my son. I said, they can't? He said, yeah. I said, but you told us to be doers of the word. They kept quiet. They didn't say anything. Then I went back. He said, preach my son, Jesus. He said, since you got saved, how many times has anybody taught you about my son? He said, you people think that my son is for people to come into the kingdom. He said, no. He's the door to the kingdom. He's the life in the kingdom. He is the door to the kingdom. Also what? The life in the kingdom. He said, he's the bread. He's the manna. If you eat him, you mature. I didn't understand it. I did not. So I went back to preach. I said, okay, I'll preach Jesus. I didn't last one sermon. Because all I knew was he saved us from our sins. I didn't last too long. And I came back frustrated. I said, Lord, I can't do this. He said, I wanted you to find out that you don't know my son. And I said, okay, reveal your son what? To me. He said, now we're talking. My eyes began to open. I raised the book of Romans. I couldn't stop. I'm like, wow, what is this? And I came to Orange Four Square. My sermon changed. How many of you noticed it? You noticed that my sermon started tilting toward Jesus, and it has not stopped. Has it impacted you or not? Come on, talk to me. Yeah, it made all the difference. And people started to grow. What I was looking for started to happen. And my wife came to me and said, what? Wow, what have you been preaching before? Initially, he said, I don't agree this, you know. I kept quiet. Say, when your wife doesn't agree, you're in trouble. But it wasn't long. She came to me and said, what you are preaching is true. And Pastor Tunde Fashorote, the young man, God said to me, he said, I will send you to Nigeria. I said, go and sow that seed. When you sow the seed, get out. I went to that church and preached simple grace. They were all confused. The whole church and the pastors. The pastors were holding meeting in the night. What to do with me? I'm telling you a story. So in the morning, the Lord told me, said they are confused. So I got in and I said, all of you are confused. They say, yeah. I said, you were here all night. What were you talking about? They were to tell. They said, Daddy, you know, we know you. I said, we know your character. We know you can't get involved in this thing if it's not true. You see how testimony works. So all of us confused. We know this man now. This America thing has entered his head. And they all started coming. They were coming. You saw them now. They were coming. Then pastor came. And they will wait. I took him for this seat conference. He was sitting two seats from me. The Lord said, ask me to open his eyes. I said, Lord, open his eyes. He went to me. It wasn't 2 weeks. He called me. He said, my God, what? He said, Jesus is real. He said, you know, this message, God taught it to me before. I forgot it. He said, it's like something. Open my eyes. I said, that's God walking because Jesus said it. Nobody come to me except my Father draws it. Unless my Father reveals me to you, you won't know me. He said, it's only the Son that knows the Father. It's only the Father that knows the Son. And to whom the Father chooses to reveal him to. The boy caught the revelation and the thing started spreading like wildfire. Now he can't have enough. Every year he will enter plane, come and sit by me and say, I want to hear that thing again. May the Lord open our eyes. So the Holy Spirit said, teach them about Jesus. Give them manna to eat. That's what will nourish your spiritual being. And what did Paul teach? Well, let's see what Paul did. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. What did Paul teach the church? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 2. For, our thing has gone blank. What happened to it? NEPA. Obika, you're a Gentile. You're a serious Gentile, I'm telling you. Okay, so I'll be reading from here. I want this scripture up, please. I really want it up. I want this thing up. I want everybody to follow me. What we're doing here is serious. Very, very serious. I want you to follow me. I don't want the enemy to cut this off. Okay, let me be reading it from here until we get it connected. 1 Corinthians 2, what was Paul teaching the church? What was he feeding them? And I, brethren, verse 1, when I came to you, came not with excellency or speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 2, for I determined, see what his determination was. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I came among you, I determined not to talk of anything else. Nothing else. Because nothing else will make you grow. I want to bring you the knowledge of Jesus. And he himself, that was what made him grow. He says, my one purpose in life is to what? To know him. He said, I don't want any other story. He's my life. He said, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, nothing compares with it in this world. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:23. So you know exactly what Paul was teaching the church, what he was preaching to them, that they were eating. But we preach Christ crucified. We preach what? I didn't hear you. We preach what? Christ crucified. So that's what we preach. He said, we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, complete foolishness. But to us who are saved, Christ is what? The power of God and the wisdom of God. And church, listen to me. The Old Testament said wisdom is the principal thing. That was referring to Christ, the wisdom of God. That's the principal knowledge. And our Lord Jesus said the same thing to him, to us. You remember when Mary, you know, and Martha. Mary will sit at his feet. And Martha will not. And Martha said, you don't care that my sister has left me and I'm serving alone. And Jesus said that Mary has chosen what? He said, one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that, which is what? Which is what? Which is needful. And no man can take it from her. And you say, what did Mary take? Jesus was teaching Mary about himself. I want you to go and read the teachings of Jesus. He was introducing himself because the goal of whatever he was doing was so they can believe in him whom the Father has sent. If you didn't talk about him, how can they believe? So I'm the light of the world. So whoever believes in me, even though he died, he was talking about himself. He was introducing himself to the world, so that they would know him. He says, I'm the manna, I came from heaven. The other time, he says, I'm the truth, I'm the way, I'm the what? Life. And then he says, how are you sure about himself to Mary? Listen to Martha now. You will know that they knew him. When he was talking to Martha, having this conversation with Martha, Martha said, I know that you are the Christ who is to come. I know. I understand that. Where did he get it? Jesus was telling them, I'm he. And then the Holy Spirit told us what Jesus preached, just in case you are in a doubt. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that had him? He said Jesus was preaching this salvation. He was preaching this salvation. He was teaching this gospel himself. Now the Holy Spirit came and told us that the Spirit of God, when he comes, will lead us into what? Who is the truth? Jesus. He came to reveal Christ to us. He came to convince the world of one sin, that they rejected Christ. And he came to teach the church who Jesus is. Jesus said, when he comes, he will glorify me. Can I hear amen? Amen? So it is this knowledge of Christ that brings us to maturity. And that's what the church is not teaching. Because to us, it's foolishness. We think, that how can he make people grow? Go and look at Paul and see what he made him to be. He became a spiritual giant. And he said, everything else is dunk. Everything else, he said, I used to think that this thing mattered. He said, all of them are useless. For what? Excellency of the knowledge of Christ. I pray that God will bring us to a point where everything else becomes useless and we all head out for the excellency of the knowledge of the Son of God. Can I hear amen? Amen. Now, the second thing that follows to that is that we must know the things that are freely given to us in Christ Jesus. You must know the things that are freely given to you in Christ Jesus. And pretty soon I will show you how, if you don't know that, you will remain a baby too. It's all part of knowing who Christ is. Do you know that adults, when they come in the house, they know where things are? Come on, church. They know where things are. But children don't know where things are. You must know what is in the house. 1 Corinthians 2:6. How be it we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our own glory. Verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they had crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear had, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that what? These are the things he gave us in Christ, he's talking about, that no human being can even articulate it. Then verse 10. But God had revealed them. Everybody say revealed. Amen. Come on, say revealed. Amen. The reason is that all these things pass a human understanding. You don't get it by your human wisdom. And it has to be revealed. All these things that Christ gave to us must be revealed. The Spirit of God must show it to you. The teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit is revelation. No man can give you revelation. Men can teach you precept upon precept, but the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit is to open your eyes of understanding. And you don't get it unless you desire to know, unless you have that hunger for. That's why God began to deal with me, because I was so hungry that things are not working the way it should be. I was desperate. That's why he said to me, okay, let me show you what you're missing. It's the knowledge of my son. So now he says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. But the Spirit of God, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why did God give us this Spirit? That we might know. That what? It's not to show anointing. It's not to carry oil all over the place and anoint everybody you see. So I have anointing. The primary reason is to give you knowledge. Because through that knowledge, you grow. You mature. Those who know their God, they are the ones that are strong. Then you can do exploit by your faith. By your faith. You use your faith to do exploit. Your faith becomes your victory. Your faith becomes what you use to resist. Your faith becomes your shield. The word of God becomes your sword. The word in your mouth is the ray fire. That's what the devil has corrupted. God says, I will make my word in your mouth like fire and what? Hammer. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth. You don't teach it with human wisdom. That's when Paul said, he said, I'm among you as a weak person. He said, I didn't come with oratory gifting, because oratory doesn't do it. You can't teach it with your natural gifting. That's what he said. He said, I'm just standing here like a mere human being, trembling self, so that you people will know that this is the power of God and not Paul. My prayer is that we'll stop looking at men and knowing that it's not men, it's the Holy Ghost. And so he said, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. The Holy Ghost teacheth it, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So why is this important that you know the things that are given to us? Now let's draw a comparison. We go from the known to what? The unknown, a simple law of logic. Now, David came, and here was Goliath. Now, this boy was 12 years old. Wasn't supposed to know anything. Now, listen, the growth, spiritual maturity, is not determined by how long you've been a Christian or by the title or post you have. It's not determined by that. It's determined by your stability in the face of things. And that's why leaders should be matured. Because you are leading people. If you get thrown, everybody gets thrown. And so here comes Saul, the king. And Goliath billows. I said, I want a man to come out. Don't be afraid, I'm just imitating him. So I want a man to come out and fight with me. And Saul took off. And immediately he took off, the rest of Israel took off. And let me stop here and pause. Saul was not a coward. Before now, the man has fought great battles. Go and read about him. Goliath was not the first time. Remember, immediately he was made king. He said to Israel, if I don't see you in the battle, I cut off your neck. So everybody show up. We'll have a battle to fight. And he went there and dealt with these people mercilessly. And when he died, David said so. He said, this is a man of war. He said, the weapons of war have perished. Say, how are the mighty fallen? He wasn't a coward. But he's never seen anything like Goliath. This man was starving. He has never seen anything like this. The man was. And then the man took it one-on-one. And before he could finish, Brother Saul was out the door. And everybody else took off after him. Listen to me. He forgot the privileges he had in God. And here comes a 12-year-old boy. Somebody shout hallelujah. The 12-year-old boy shows up, has never been in any major battle. He shows up and says, who is that guy? Say, who is that uncircumcised what? He immediately identified him and identified himself. You must know what God gave you in Christ, because that's what identifies you in the face of danger. You look at that and I say, what's that? I'm born of God. What's that? What's that? I'm born of God. So, what's that talking to me? When demons appeared to me, I told them. I said, look, if you want to frighten me because you're a spirit, I'm also a spirit. He that is born of spirit is what? That's what I quoted to him. I said, listen, I'm a spirit. I'm born of the Spirit of God. And let me remind you, in case you forgot, the greater one is here right now. And you can't intimidate me. You can't do that. That's what David did. He said, that's uncircumcised. He said, we are the armies of the living God. That means he said, okay, can we sort this out? What are you guys going to give to the one that we defeat? David was thinking of reward already. As far as he was concerned, the battle can we have matured Christians who can wake up and look at the devil and say, this is a done deal. You're under my feet. I hear you one more time, I deal with you. People who know what they're doing. Not people who are just religious, Pentecostal, mouth, nothing. They see the devil, they're shaking. I ate okra in the soup in the night. Brother, pray for you. Let us all join together. You are another soul. We don't need more souls, my friend. Somebody shout hallelujah. We don't need more souls. We are done with souls. We need people who rise up and say, I know in whom I have believed. I know my God liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. What is that devil doing that thing? I see you in my house. I kick you out. You don't touch my son. You hear? In the name of Jesus, get out of here. And I mean what I'm saying. David said, can we settle this before we get into this battle? What is there for me? 12-year-old boy, what do you think? Just starting out life. And listen to that. His brother came to him and said, you are a proud man. I know you. You're just getting yourself into what will kill you. Don't forget. Look, that's exactly what many Christians will tell you. Bro, we know somebody in New York. You need to go and see him. Why should I see him? Why? Why? I have received something. I have authority in the name of Jesus. And I don't need that man in New York. I can exercise my authority. The name of the Lord is also a strong tower for me. I've run into it. I am safe. And no weapon formed against me. I don't need your man in New York, friends. Go see him. I don't need him. Saul, get out of here. I don't need you. Then his brother says, you are a proud man. Come on. You can't handle this. Are you serious? Go back and carry the sheep. Give us the food, my friend. Go, 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 go. The man said, is there no reason for me to say this? He bypassed the brother, went to another group. He said, what shall I be giving to the man that will deal with this man? I mean what I'm saying. And then they said, looks like this young boy is serious. So they went and told Saul. So there's this small boy that brought food here. He wants to take on. And Saul said, hey, please let him come on. Anything is better now. Because I don't have solution to this. I don't have solution at all. Bring the boy. And they listened to it. They brought the boy. And then Saul said, you know, now to tell you the truth, that man, you can't handle him. That man has been a man of war. I'm warning you now. And David said, let nobody's heart be what? Disturbed. I know what God gave me. I know where I belong. I know whose covenant I'm carrying. I'm in a covenant with God, not contract. I have a covenant. It's a covenant that cannot be broken. He says to us, no man shall stand before you all the days of your life. Saul, get behind me. I'm moving. And then Saul said, okay, since you want to go, let me give you my... But make sure you call your insurance. And the boy said to Saul, you don't know how God works. See, mature people know the hand of God. He said, God does not save with others. Take it away. Say, you don't know God. You don't know the finger of God. I know it. When the chips are down, these things count. They do count. He said, God does not use others. He said, I've not tried them. Take them away. And then the final one, Goliath make things worse. Because sometimes your situation gets worse. Goliath now said, hey, listen, small boy. You think I came here to joke? You come with catapult? He said, I think you break the heart of your mom coming over here, man. I just tear you to shreds. We haven't seen, who sent you here? My friend, go back to high school. Stop. He said, is this a joke or what? Who is doing this? And David said, you have no idea what's heading your way. He said, I come to you in the name. Ah, shaka, pa, ka, pa, pa. Roko seke. He said, the name of God. And let me tell you, Goliath, God is among us. This day, the whole world will know that there's God in Israel. He knew that. Do you know? The Bible said the greater one is in you. That he that is what? But the one in the world makes you shake. Nigeria, you have watching Satan 40 hours, 20 hours. You are fighting Satan. Come on, the battle has been won. It's been won. It's won. It's over. Jesus dealt with him mercilessly. made a public show of him. And you go to church and sing it. And Monday you talk another thing. He has given us victory. And Monday you act like you have never seen victory. Whose report are we going to? Now, you must know these things. It's so important that you know the things that are freely given to you. So that when the chips are down, they are the things you use to stand. You know what is where. You know how many pieces of meat in the fish, you know, in the soup. You know which ones are your own. Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you know Paul was saying that? He said, we found out that we have a new life now. He said, hey, I realize now that if any man is in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. He said, old things have what? Passed. So we are done with sin. Anybody who is crucified be talking about sin. He said, we've been crucified now. The power of sin has been destroyed over us. So how can you be talking about that? Stop talking like Saul. Stop talking like Goliath. Call it sin. Don't call you to talk about Goliath. Paul said, he that is dead is finished with sin. But done with it. Because on the cross, the power of sin was what? Destroyed. Destroyed. He said, we've risen with newness of life. He said, we don't see any man anymore after the outward appearance. We see what God has done. We are new creatures with new powers, with new abilities. Come on. He said, we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. When your finances are attacked, don't you know you should rise like David and declare, I'm not under a curse? No. For whom God has blessed cannot be cursed. No, you are not under a curse. Forget it. It is another Goliath making another noise. I'm telling you. And you go to battle with your sword. It is written. I'm blessed with the blessings of what? Look, there was a time in my house, I was in ignorance. We were so poor that rats didn't like to live in my house again. You know, when you get so poor, all the rats were telling each other, that man's house is there's nothing to find there. Say, don't go there. just. If they will see some coming. They will stop them and say, where are you going? He said, that man. Find another place and go, my friend. Leave him alone. There's nothing. So the news went round. So no more rat was coming. Listen, my chair was broken. Everything was broken. I don't know if Kenneth will remember because he was very young then. Nothing. No food. We used to bring, this is a real story. We used to bring one fish, caught it, that is soup, and that is stew, one fish. All we ate was yam and oil. Boy, yam and oil. Gochukwu used to call it yam and oil. Thank God for America, because that's how he grew with yam and oil. And then one time, I saw the devil. Physically, laughing at me, mocking me and my Christianity. He was wearing rag, showing me that he's made me ashamed. He was mocking. I'm not kidding you. Physically, like I'm seeing you. He was in my living room, the other side, and I was like this. They was mocking me. Hi! So I got angry. I carried chair. Before the chair could leave, it was by my side. You know, spiritual things, you can't really explain. So without thinking, I lifted my hand and the sword was in my hand. And with that thing, I stabbed it. I started to bleed. I carried it, went to my back on the Twitter. And then the Lord said to me, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Can we read? Christ has what? redeemed us from the curse, doom of the law, and its condemnation by himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scripture, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, to the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. And the Lord said to me, that's your portion. You are ignorant. I said, what? So you are ignorant. I told you, ignorance is the door through which the devil attacks you, enters your life. And that's why the word of God is used, the shield that stops him. So now I stopped anything I was doing. The whole family, we studied these two verses almost 3 weeks, nonstop. Morning, evening, nothing else. All of a sudden, things before my eyes. I got into multi-million naira business before my eyes. So I went from rags to what? So my wife's steps changed. The first thing I did was change her wardrobe. The grass came back. Brethren, I want you to listen to me. In my house, you will see 500,000 naira cash when naira had value. I was giving contracts to people. And what turned it around was revelation. You shall know the truth. And the truth will what? The thing knocked off everything. So ignorance of what you have keep you a baby. I didn't know I was blessed. I didn't know I was blessed. I thought I was going to be blessed. Let me tell you something. Stop putting off your blessings and destinies. The promises have been fulfilled. It's not tomorrow. It's already done. That's what God says, enter into my rest. His destiny is done. Stop all your labor. Celebrate God's labor, not your labor. Let me say it one more time. Celebrate what God's labor and not your labor. Say, enter my rest. This job is finished. It's all yours. Enter. Receive. Giving you the key to the kingdom. Take what you want. And it is through these promises that God made you a partaker of divine nature. If God didn't fulfill his promise, you won't have new life. And if you don't have new life, you go to hell. I don't care how you want to be good. No. Without that life of Christ and his spirit, you don't belong to him. And hell, you're headed. It's through this fulfilled promise that God is giving us all destinies in Christ. He gave us new life. He gave us his spirit. Made us children of God and made us partakers of every blessing in heaven. You must know this and be convinced about it. That you are not under the curse. That you are blessed. Most of the time, I thank God that I'm blessed. Man, I don't waste time. I thank God that I'm blessed going out. Blessed what? Coming in. I do that not only because I remind myself of the things that I have received, lest I forget. The Bible said, how can you escape if you forget such great salvation? How can you escape trouble? One time I had all manner of pain. I know doctors don't like this. I had pain here. Pain. You know what I did? I laughed. And laughed some more. I said to the devil, one thing you can't do is to undo what the cross has done. So you can't do that. I said, let me see you frustrate yourself. This body has been bought. Before you came, this body has what? Bought. It belongs to Jesus. I said, you're wasting your time. My sickness and everything he has carried, you can't put any of me. And I don't have time for you. I'm not going to give you attention. You want attention, you won't get it. Brethren, how they left and when, I don't know. I couldn't leave this hand. No, this one. I couldn't do this. If I wanted to bath, he would come here. And like something would. In the background, I would start laughing. I said, well, I'm going to use it anyway. And I will use it. I'll carry anything for you. I didn't even know when he stopped, when when they left. I think they realized I was not giving them attention. They packed their things and they left. Why? I knew what I received. And I held forth to that which I have received. I've received healing. You won't take it from me. Praise the Lord. You know your story. This man's testimony, awesome. Awesome. How God healed him of what they thought would have finished him was killing people in their family. There's a sister that cancer killed his the son, was wiping them out in the family one by one. That's a Jamaican. And then he has cancer. And then Dr. Uche, you know now. And then the wife brought her to me. You people had that testimony, no? And he said, Pastor, look, I'm not angry with God. I just want to die. I said, why? He said, this thing killed my son, so I don't have anything left in this world. He said, it's clean us in the family one by one. I guess it's now my turn. I said, why did you read it in the Bible? It's your turn. He said, Pastor, look, I'm not angry with God, but let me just die and go home. I said, let's make a deal. He said, what deal? I said, let God heal you first, then you can die. I said, let God heal you first, testify first, let Jesus take glory. Then after that, you cannot go and meet him. I said, it's a simple deal now. He said, are you serious? I said, I'm serious. Let him heal you first. Go and tell the world that Jesus is real. Then after that, close your eye and die. I said, it's simple. Let's do it. He said, okay, it's simple deal. I said, yeah, it's a simple deal. He said, when will you hear me? I said, right now. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, are you serious? I'm not telling the truth. I said, right now. I said, because he hears prayer. He said, okay, what do? I said, let's pray. I said, Lord, do you know we're in a deal here? I said, he's taking the deal. I said, he wants you to hear him, so he testifies. Then after that, he can decide to go because you're not the one taking him. He can decide. I said, Lord, heal this girl in Jesus' name. He doesn't know much. And I said, do you have CD? He said, yeah. I said, go and play it. It's done. And then she went to him. And started playing CDs. And then she went for the day they scheduled her for surgery. And they took her and found no cancer in her. Dr. Chairman, you know what I'm saying? No, not a trace. And then she came to church and they gave that testimony. I said, okay, now you can close your eye. Go home. You know why that could happen? He was a baby. He didn't know anything. If it was an adult, it wouldn't happen like that. There's a place you grow in the Lord. Somebody's prayer will never work for you again. If you lie, be going from prophet to prophet, you're wasting your time. Because to whom much, God said, we are supposed to be an adult. You are crawling around looking for who will pray for you, lay hands on you. Every pastor that comes and said, I want to pray, you are number one outside. Remember me, oh Lord, remember. God has not forgotten you, my friend. It worked because he was a baby, didn't know anything. If he was a Christian, hearing the word like you've been hearing, I don't care how many pastors you get, lay hands on you, they are wasting their time. It won't work for you. Go to all these major crusades. The people who are non-Christians don't know anything. Do you know people who are not healed? Old-time believers. Because God expects them to walk by the word and not walk. You think when God feeds you the word, you think he's joking? No, he says, the just shall live not by miracles. And when God says a thing, he means it. That's why people come to church. They're not interested in learning the word. They don't want to learn because they're hoping that when things come, we call the whole church to pray for us and they were laying hands on. You're wasting your time. Oh, Jesus, you have no idea what's coming. You better take the word seriously, make effort to study it, and make effort to grow in it because you need it. You don't know what's heading your way. I told your wife when I went to hospital. I said, everything you learn, this is when you apply it. I said, I don't want you to tell me all this. This is happening to me. I said, I didn't come to hear that. I came to hear you testify of Jesus Christ. Your testimony is your victory. Open your mouth and testify of what God has done in your life. Fight the fight of faith. I said, everything you learn, this is when to use it. And she woke up. Ask guys, she woke up. He said, Pastor, yeah. I said, yep. I said, let me give you a scripture. I said, he causeth us to triumph always. I said, not sometimes. Hey, she got angry. I said, you sit down here, the devil is running rush shoes all over your body. And everyone that comes, you complain. And you cry a little bit. You want some sympathy. I'm not giving you any more sympathy. The husband is here. You're wearing that. But she told you now. Ah, I told her, no, I'm done. I said, your daddy, yes. I said, my father, I'm going to treat you like a father. Say, arise and shine. Let the glory of the Lord shine. Get up and say something. Say, stop that thing. You can stop that thing. She said, well, okay. I said, yeah. And when now? Then she took on. Man, when you get a child of God on, the devil has an issue. She got up. And the husband was on her. We formed a team. We ganged up on her. The husband was in this direction. The husband was saying, no, you can't do this. You can't be lying around. And I'm coming this direction. And she stood up. And the thing left. Which of the promises do you know that are your own? What relevance is your daily life? All relevance. Then following that is knowing the love of God. Do you want some more? Yes, sir. Am I communicating here? Yes, sir. You want to grow, you got to know the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Why? That you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:17-19. This is NIV I'm reading. Does anybody have another translation? Oh, okay. Can we read King James? Huh? Oh, these are the names of the sons of Israel. I told you Obika is a Gentile. All the rats are in his house. That's what's confused. Exodus 1. Ephesians 3:17-19. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Uh-huh. You being rooted and established what? In love. What happens? So you now be able to comprehend. Is this what all the saints you know? Comprehend with all saints. What are they supposed to comprehend? What is the breadth? And the length? And the depth? And the height? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth what? How do you know what passes understanding? The Spirit of God reveals it to you. So what is the purpose of knowing it? Continue. What is the purpose? So you come to maturity. You come to real maturity, the fullness of Christ. See, we have a lot of babies. Because when we pray, we don't pray that God will open our eyes to know these things. Look. If you know the love of God, your heart will become tender. Immediately. I'm not kidding you. You don't have to make any effort. If you begin to know the love of God, your eyes will never be dry. When you see how merciful God has been on you, you will never have mouth to condemn another person. I'm not kidding you. You will be so humble. The thing will mellow you down. When you see how, it's because we don't know the love of God, we're judging everybody. Even people who are wrong, you really begin to realize that God showed you mercy. And then you can make room for them too. Because what? They will know tomorrow. Maybe they realize that it is God's mercy that I'm not consumed. It's not me that achieved this thing. If you begin to know the love of God, your character changes drastically. Drastically. It begins to conform to the nature of Christ. Immediately, you become so humble. But when you don't know it, you think you are the one. Yeah. You become Pharisee number one. See, this church, I don't like the way the pastor is doing this. And I don't like the person he made head usher. In fact, we have to change the way we do this. And then the way we do that. You carry judgment what? Sit. Oh, okay. You know what the book of James said? He said if you condemn people, you become a judge of the law, and God didn't make you that judge. If you know the love of God, you will take the background seat easily. In your house, you become cold water. Whatever they are saying is okay. I'm not kidding you. And fear will stop. Fear is gone. Fear is over. You can look things in the face and know God is not going to leave me because he loves me. Jesus said, my father loves me. So he shows me what he's doing. And then he showed me more things. Because he what? He loves me. The Bible says, he who does not love does not know God. For God is love. I think I'll stop here because of our time. And in the night, I'll continue. Did you get anything? I'll continue in the night. And go to Holy Spirit baptism, and then from there to our inheritance. Wherever I stop, next year we'll continue. But did you get something? Yes. Pastor Victor, thank you for the privilege. Where is our pastor?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.